She's our speaker for today. She's been in program 4.5 years. She's a food, inventory, step, and maintenance sponsor. She's maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. She's been based in Santa Ana, California. The topic on the workshop today is outreach of the community. How does technology impact amenity? Welcome, Roberta.
Hi, everybody. Welcome. Again, I'm Roberta. So the topic for today is outreach to the community, and just a little background about this. Lola, who was organizing the speakers, said, Roberta, do you want to do a workshop? And I said, okay, what do you want me to talk about? And she goes, outreach to the community. And I'm like, oh, man. And then she made it worse by, she said, she did this part, how does technology affect anonymity? And I'm like, oh, what a terrible topic. What the heck am I going to say about that? And she goes, that's why we want to talk about it. So that was my topic for today. So the format for this session, I broke it into two parts. The first part I want to talk about is part one, well, what are best practices for community outreach? And number two, then talk about how does technology affect anonymity? I want to consider the issue. We'll do a little bit of literature and writing, so it'll be a little interactive. We'll have an open forum discussion. Just a reminder, if you do speak in the microphone, we'll need you to sign the waiver form. So there's a sign up here. And then what I'm looking for is a takeaway. What are we going to do when we walk away from here? How is my opinion about all this going to be the same or different? So, again, we're going to be together for an hour. So hopefully it'll be kind of fun. And let's start with the serenity prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Well, the first thing I wanted to show you is my pictures. These are pictures of me. That's what I used to look like. Again, I'm maintaining a 70-pound weight loss. My highest, I'm 5'6", and my highest size was size 22, and the last time I bought a pair of pants was size 6. So how did that happen? It's a miracle. Now, you'll notice that when I had copies made of this, because you have handouts, you will do not see my picture in the handouts, because I honestly didn't want my anonymity floating around. Sometimes people ask me for copies of these things, and I have to edit it. Okay, so really part one, best practices for community outreach. This picture is supposed to represent all the people out there that have needs. And my first picture, because I like pictures, is there are a lot of needs in our community. There was an article in the Orange County Register, which is where I live, that talked about obesity in America. It's up. It's something like 35%. Of Americans are obese. So there's no question. And the needs range not just from being overweight, but from being underweight as well. There's people in our fellowship as well that suffer from anorexia. So there are a lot of needs in our community. So what are best practices for community outreach? Now, I have a little bit of experience with community outreach, sharing the message, but there are way smarter people in this fellowship that I went to. So I interviewed a couple CHOW members that have a lot of strength in reaching out to the community, and here's what I learned. Again, one person putting their hand in another. And what did I hear the best practices were? Well, one of the things I heard was distributing flyers about our fellowship at libraries and clinics is a good idea. Posting meeting information at public announcement boards, and particularly participating in health fairs. Now, I've got a little asterisk here. Just want to let everybody know there is going to be a workshop tomorrow morning on how to set up a CHOW health fair. There's a whole group of people that focus on public information. How do you communicate the message? And so there's a workshop on that. If you're interested, it's a great chance to see practically how to do that. Now, the question is, well, what and where do we try to communicate, and, well, why? And what people were saying who have experience is that meeting people face-to-face is a powerful way to connect with people. It's one thing to just, put something in the newspaper, and who knows if they're going to be there. But if you get a chance to talk to somebody face-to-face, it has a very powerful impact. So a health fair is a good idea. Also, seeing before and after pictures is a really interesting way. Just like the pictures I showed you, even if you were talking amongst yourselves or looking down, if you knew I had a picture up there of what I look like, all of you looked up. Because that's what people look at. We're all visually oriented, So before and after pictures really captured people's interest. Now, the people I interviewed in the program who do community outreach, I said, who are these people that respond? What are they like? And what they said was, well, they tended to be overweight, and they tended to have health problems, whatever those health problems may be. Maybe they had a walker, maybe they had diabetes or something. But really, people came from all walks of life, and that's again, I'm in sales for a living, so when I sell, I'm always focused on who is my buyer, so to speak. And the good news is, for our message, the people are out there with needs in all parts of the community. People like you, people not like you, people like me. It's all different kinds, so there's a great need out there. Now, additional methods, I've heard other people personally pass out business cards. They have little cards made that have See How on them. Maybe it's something that references maybe a personal name and number, and the See How org website. I've written this for people. I actually haven't carried a business card, but I've heard people do that. Also being available to answer questions. Now, here's something that I did wrong. And I realized this after I made the deck. In the handout, you'll notice that I put a reference to a particular site, because I had found a couple years ago a site about people with eating disorders, and it was a website, and they had all this information. If you have an eating disorder, here's all the resources you can call. And I noticed that See How wasn't out there. So I decided on my own, well, I'm going to put See How out there. So I went out and I asked, could you please put See How? And they said, well, we need a name and number. So I said, okay, put my name, put my phone number, thinking if anybody calls me, I will direct them to See How. And then, so I was going to reference that here. And then this morning, having just come out of the business comp, actually, come out of a number of things, which reminded me that we are not, you know, See How as such is not affiliated with outside interests. Therefore, we're not to promote it. So I took my reference out of here. So what you see here has no reference, but in my handout, I realized, oh, I made a mistake. So I use that as an example to say I did cite an outside interest and I was wrong. So, but anyway, the idea is maybe be available to answer questions on some outside resources if somebody does have questions. Although how to do that, I'm looking to get your feedback on what you think later. So, again, the question is, what can I do to meet the needs of the community, people who need this program, like I did? And again, individuals doing, you know, outreach to the community and health fairs, maybe rehab meetings, opening a meeting in your local area, and then, again, maybe giving out business cards that reference See How. But the question is, what guides our actions in this area? So, and here's some quotes from our literature. It's about attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, etc. And in summary, the traditions. It's really the traditions that should govern our behavior. Now, let me give you, if I could have someone hand out the yellow sheet to the folks here. I wanted to give you all copies of both the 12 steps and 12 traditions. We have two people that can hand out stuff. So we'll take a second to hand all those out. Just a reminder, 12 steps and 12 traditions. I found myself referring to these several times in the last couple of days. So just as a review then, okay, well, what are some key areas to highlight? Well, Tradition 6 says, and I'm using the AA reference here, an AA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the AA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. Certainly, Tradition 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, film, television, and other public media of communication. And Tradition 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. So that's stuff I've heard a lot in meetings, but sometimes I struggle with, okay, so what does that mean practically? There was a great workshop earlier this morning on the traditions in real life. How does it really play out? If you weren't able to attend, I encourage you to listen to it on the recording, because they had a great case studies where they asked different people, okay, pretend you're in a meeting and you break the tradition. Give examples of that, and then people had to guess what tradition is being broken, and I learned a lot from it. So I want to just take a moment here and ask people on the topic first of outreach to the community, What have you guys found to be effective? And we'll give everybody about 3 minutes, if anybody wants to share. Anybody want to share on what's been effective that you found in outreach to the community?
Hello, my name is Jim. I'm a compulsive eater from Oceano, California, up by San Luis Obispo. Up by San Luis Obispo, Oceano, California. And what I found to be effective in outreach is I give these to pastors and doctors. People trust their pastors, and pastors come into contact with people that need help often. And doctors are even more involved. Doctors are involved when people get so bad they have health problems. So these are people that probably are really in need of our help or some kind of help. And I think this is very effective. It's something new, and it's free, I believe, out on the table. And it's a tripod, and it explains everything. Just get one look at it. It's got 14 questions. Everybody knows what these are, right? Yeah, these are good. And this is my experience. I give them to my pastor, my mom's doctor, my doctor. And I think it really works. You know, I was thinking as you were talking about health fairs, I was thinking about doctors' conferences or pastors' conferences. If we could somehow get somebody that's a good speaker and effective communicator involved in things like that, you could, what would you call it, multiply your efforts. Understand? Instead of giving it to one doctor, you give it to 1,000 doctors, and then they give it to 2, and that's 2,000. So that's just a couple ideas.
Anybody else want to share?
Hi, I'm Coletta, compulsive eater from Virginia Beach, Virginia.
Hi.
Our group did do business cards. We call them information cards. And they just list our hotline number, our local hotline number, our email address, and our website, and where we have our meetings. Just the areas of town. And what we do is when we hand them out, like we can carry them around, and then the individual can put their name on the back if they want to give it to people. The other thing I've done to reach out to people is to carry around the pamphlets and the information brochures with me, because you want to be armed and dangerous, because you never know when you're going to meet somebody who's interested in the program, and it may not be the individual themselves that's interested, but they know somebody. So if they ask anything, you know, about your program or anything, I was at a medical appointment and started talking about losing weight. My doctor finally told his nurse, oh, look at her, you know, she's lost 120 pounds, and she, a long time ago, you should have seen her when, you know, but I had information with me to hand out, and that's what you want to be, you know, armed and dangerous. The other thing, we used to have a little pin that said, just ask on it, and it was like a bubble, you know, like a conversation bubble, and you can wear that just to grab attention from people, and they go, just ask what, and you can say, well, let me tell you what I do, you know, about my program. Let me tell you about me or something like that, you know. Or if you're in a restaurant with your scale, you know, there are people who have to make a comment. And really, they look over and they want to know what you're doing, and you can hand it out. But it's really all about them, because then they'll tell you about what they've tried. But you can give them something that they'll have, and they'll be able to go back and look at it. And that's all you have to do, is plant the seed. But remember, be armed and dangerous.
Thanks, Coletta. sign. That's great. Was there one more share? And then we'll go on to the next part.
I'm Janann, and I made my own card on the computer and cut them out myself. There, you can buy templates for your own business card. So that's what I did.
Okay, so with that, let me go on to the second part of today's workshop, which is part two, how does technology affect anonymity? And I've got pictures up here of Facebook and YouTube and a PC and somebody with their face masked. So the issue is anonymity on the public level. And I just had a couple thoughts I wanted to offer, and that was historically, really, only famous people and celebrities were on a public level, and we got to see a lot more of them than either of us would like. So I went through, and I took a couple pictures of public figures here, and it's not uncommon to hear about people dealing with their addictions. You got Mel Gibson here, you got Robert Downey Jr., you got Nicole Smith, Martin Sheen, and you even have some older, there's Eminem, the rapper, and then older, you know, Judy Garland and Elvis Presley. These are all people that had addictions, and we knew a lot more of them than we necessarily wanted to know. And the question is the ripple effect, which is, well, what happens when public figures with addictions do not follow the traditions? Again, especially if they're working a program. What if they stay on the wagon or if they fall off the wagon? And there's been a couple things. Now, I drafted this presentation in March. Now, there's been a couple things that happened since then. But I want to just point out to you that Eminem was at the 2011 Grammys back in March. And that's an AA sobriety necklace that he was wearing, right? And that it represents wholeness and oneness, and that's what, you know, it represents unity, recovery, and service. But the point is, he was out there saying, hey, I'm a member of AA. And that caused a big uproar. What the heck are you doing wearing that necklace out there in a public setting? Additionally, Martin Sheen. He was in a March 2011 Today Show interview. These are quotes. Sheen rejected the fiction of AA and their, quote, 5% success rate. When asked how he cured himself of his drug addiction, Sheen replied, I closed my eyes and made it so with the power of my mind. I had to unload 22 years of fiction and just decided I don't believe that anymore. And he called the Handbook of Alcoholics Anonymous, quote, a silly book written by a broken-down fool who is a plagiarist. Now, does he have the right to express his opinion? Absolutely. But there's a huge impact on that. So, again, what these people say and then they change their mind has a huge impact on all of us. So the question that I think this raises is, well, you know, do public figures in a 12-step program need to follow the tradition? You know, why or why not? And what's the impact of their actions to me and to the addict who still suffers? And most importantly, who really is a public figure nowadays? Who really? Is it really just celebrities? And I would like to offer that the public level is really me today. These are tools. Facebook and YouTube are tools that put me as an individual on a public level. If you're not familiar with what these are, let me give you my really easy, I don't know if I'm right. Facebook is kind of a cool website where you can go and you can post your photographs or your videos. I have a sister-in-law that posts pictures of my two nieces out there. So she posts them, and then no matter where I am in the world, I can go look at pictures of my nieces. I can connect with other friends, and it's a social network, which is really fun. YouTube is a place where you can take videos of yourself. People have taken videos of you or your vacation. You can post it. And other people. I'm actually out on YouTube. I sang at my church a couple times, and there's me out there singing with the choir. You know, kind of fun. Look at me. I'm sorry? Can I sing for you? After. If you stay to the end, I will sing for you. But the idea is, again, it's me as an individual on a public level. And the very next question becomes, well, if I'm going to post my website on Facebook, or I'm going to create a website on Facebook, how much am I going to say? Do I have before pictures out there? Do I have that? And the truth is I do. I have a little section called before pictures, right? Now, the next question becomes, am I going to say, this is what I look like before, and then I went to see how, and this is what I look like now? Okay, that's the question. Now, let me tell you a story that's more recent. And I was in Vancouver in June I was there on vacation. And while I was there, they played the seventh game of the Stanley Cup Series. It was the Vancouver Canucks versus the Boston Bruins. The city of Vancouver was so excited. This is our time. We're going to win. Well, as the game opened and it proceeded, they were losing. And you could just feel the disappointment in the city. I was out, and you could just feel it. Well, after the game, I went downtown and was seeing a play. And about halfway through the play, I hear these shots being fired. I'm like, what the heck is that? And we come out during the break, and we could see smoke in the downtown area. And it turned out there were riots going on where a bunch of drunken young people had decided to set some cars on fire and break into the local stores. And all along, there are people taking photographs with their cell phone, saying, look at this. And they had pictures of the perpetrators. It was a big, big deal. The next morning, the city was appalled. I can't believe you guys made us look bad, right? It was terrible. Well, some of the people that had stolen went out on Facebook and said, look, I got $150. Like one girl said, $150 worth of makeup that I stole out of the such and such. What an idiot. Well, immediately, all of the city who was on Facebook went, because it's like, you can look. You can say, what did she do? She got so much backlash. I can't believe you did that. Well, she had forgotten that when she signed up for Facebook, she also had said, and I'm not going to get this exactly right, so I'm going to change the names a little bit, but she had said who she worked for. She had forgotten that. So when the people who went to her Facebook to go, you idiot, went, oh, and she works for this company, they called up the company and said, how come you're hiring this thief? Well, they fired her, right? No, you go, good, that's a good thing that happens, right? But it's like anonymity. There is no anonymity with these types of social networking sites. So the question becomes, what happens? Let me see what my next slide says. And here, I'll ask you the questions. Let me do that. If we could have some handouts, we can pass out the blue sheet to everybody. I want to ask you guys some questions. This is the interactive session. So I'm going to ask you several questions. I'm going to give you time to read and think about the answer, and then the floor will be open for sharing. So and I'll just read to you so the people on the phone, people on the listening can hear what they say. So the first question is going to be, is it okay for me to reference SeeHow on my Facebook site? If not, why not? And if so, are there any constraints or guidelines on how I should do that? Two, can I make a video of myself and post it on YouTube mentioning how I've overcome my eating addiction by working SeeHow? Three, can I run an advertisement in a local paper about a new SeeHow meeting we're opening showing before and after pictures of successful SeeHow members? Why or why not? And four, what should I do if I see other SeeHow members doing any of the behavior or actions cited above? Okay, so that's the question I want to ask you. Let me, before you start, if anybody needs a pen, if anyone does need a pen, I have extra pens up here. Just put your hand up if you need a pen. And then also what I brought is, I meant to bring my big book and my 12 and 12, and I even said I was going to bring them, and I totally forgot. But I gave you the handout of the 12 steps and 12 traditions. And there's also one other thing I wanted to hand out, and there's a little pamphlet over there, if we can hand out the pamphlet. This is something for you to take and use at home. And it's an AA conference-approved literature, so it is something that we can look at here. And it's called Understanding Anonymity. Anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all traditions. This is a really good little pamphlet. Again, it is conference-approved. We're allowed to look at it. You can take it home. So feel free to reference any of those documents to write in your answers to the questions. So I'm going to give you about 5 or 10 minutes to fill that out, fill out the worksheet. We'll go till about 4:20, and then it'll be open for sharing. And I'm interested in hearing what you guys have to say. okay with that, just took a little bit of time. I know some people don't like to write and therefore said, I'm just going to talk off the top of my head. So that would be Gloria. Gloria, do you want to come up and share? And again, if you can make sure before you leave, you sign in.
Gloria, compulsive Albedo. The first question is it okay for me to reference D. Howe on my Facebook site? If not, why? For me, it would not be okay. Most of the people that are dear to me, well, no, I take that back. They know I did something, and they know I relapsed, and some of them that see me know I'm back. So I don't want to be haunted with that. You know, you were here, and now you're back here. So those people that are near and dear to me, I know them well enough to know that they're not at a place of recovery. So I don't want the backlash of that. I think it would hurt me. So I think that if I did before and after, that's okay, but I don't have to say how. If somebody really wants to know how, there's an instant message in your Facebook. They can instant message me directly and no one else will see. What's going on with you? What are you doing? And then I could talk to them like one-on-one. But to let everybody that's my friend in Facebook know what I'm doing, no, it wouldn't be good for me.
Would anyone else like to share on what they wrote? Again, I'm looking to you guys to tell me what should I take away from this workshop. What other ideas do you have to answer these questions? Please.
I'll come back.
Yeah, go. This one here. I think there's only one.
I'm Linda. I'm a compulsive eater. And I've had a question for a long time about how to really get the message out, because we've printed up flyers that have little tear-off pieces that have our website and phone number. We have not gotten much of a response. And there were radio announcements, public service announcements that are on the CEA HOW website. And those are fantastic. But it's getting the radio stations to play them. It's not very often. So my idea was to take that radio announcement and just have it on television, just have a sign, or you know, whatever you call it, that says CEA HOW, Compulsive Eaters Anonymous, the phone number, and a website. And just have that radio announcement in the background, so there would be no people's faces, you know, it would be total anonymity. So I was just looking through this pamphlet on understanding anonymity, and it says members may speak as AA members only if their names or faces are not revealed. They speak not for AA but as individual members. And then it also says they may disclose their identity and speak as recovered compulsive eaters giving radio and TV and internet interviews without violating tradition, so long as their CA HOW membership is not revealed. But to me it seems like the reason I found out about this program was that I heard it when I was sitting there with three boxes of those things that I was moving around, eating one of here and trying to move it around so it looked like I wasn't eating any. And I heard that public service announcement about the program and the phone number, and I called, and there was a meeting about three blocks away from me in a half an hour. And I've heard so many people come into our programs and say, I never heard of you. And that, I think, is, you know, there are so many people that are desperate for help from compulsive eating, and they don't know about it. So to me, it's like I really want to get the word out to a lot of people. And I've also seen Dear Abby a lot of times. They'll ask about that and they'll say, call Overeaters Anonymous. It's like, how are we going to get the name out for people? And I know it's, I really thought about it. You know, it's like, it's supposed to be not promotion, but it's just so hard to get the word out. And especially for people who have been abstinent a long time or on maintenance, people haven't seen them when they were heavy. So even, you know, even they don't know about the attraction because they've always seen that person thin. So anyway, that's my idea.
And Lynn and I were talking right before when you guys were writing, and Lynn brought up a good point. You know, I brought this up with WSO. Why isn't World Service Organization doing something? And the reality is the folks on WSO are a couple of just hardworking individuals that already have more than enough work. The truth is we are the fellowship. It's up to us. How are we going to go out and do something or not do something? And that's why I'm curious to know, how am I going to be different as a result of walking out of this workshop because of what you had to say? Other answers that people have, please.
When I go to Vegas, or I go gambling, they always have posted Gamblers Anonymous. I think it'd be a good idea for those places that we used to go hang out that had those round things and those factories that make things during the holidays for us. That they have signs posted, CA Howe, and the 1-800 number.
Hi, my name is Jim. I'm a compulsive eater. What an idea! Just like on cigarette packages, you put CA Howe website and phone number on every package of you know what. Everywhere. By requirement. But don't tell anyone, well, it's an idea.
Please come up, Amy.
Okay, sure. My name's Amy. I'm a compulsive eater. Rather than about this video and putting it on YouTube, for instance, I wrote that making a video of myself saying, you know, I really am being a spokesperson at that point for CA Howe. And the problem with that is twofold. One is CA Howe's message gets confused with my message because I'm becoming a public face. And it's contrary to the principle of humility. And it's also contrary to the principle of unity. When I did my writing, some of the best writing I've ever done, the tradition, in order to become a delegate here, they stress that all the steps are about humility. When you get right down to it, aren't they all about humility, every one of them? Well, every one of the traditions is about unity. Because we will die alone, or we can live together. And so many, many people... In this answer to this question, if you see another member doing something, it's usually well meant, but they just haven't thought it through as to how it could affect all of us in our fellowship. And most of this is done with the greatest, most of the mistakes, what touched me most about setting the traditions in depth is how many embarrassing mistakes Bill Wilson exposed. So we wouldn't have to reinvent the wheel and keep making the same mistakes, right? And they were all well meant. Every single one of them was well meant. And it wasn't until people really thought it through, for instance, professionalism, you know, they talk about that tradition, how people really thought they were going to help AA by doing that, until it was finally they understood the connection of how the AA could be hurt. And I think that it seems like a very, very tempting thing to share just with your friends on Facebook about your recovery. And isn't that the same as telling them at the party? Well, not exactly, because there isn't that much security on Facebook, and your face is out there on a public medium that, you know, and I think most of us that, honestly, I could just say it's my, even from my own experience, is when I always have to speak from, I encourage anybody who's never done those tradition questions to do them because they're better than almost any other questions we had to do. It gave me a much deeper sense of why the traditions are the way they are and what and how the tradition of anonymity at public level was not to hinder us from getting publicity, because the questions mentioned are very, very good ones. In fact, it's just to say, in the 11th tradition, that we should hand it off to the people well suited to do it, like journalists. And it's just that I don't be the spokesperson. You know, I'm off, you know, a newspaper reporter writing about us? Yeah. Joining a panel without my face, just as long as I think to myself, am I being the face? Am I claiming my message as the Yang Hao's message? And I don't want to repeat myself, so with that, I'll just say I wanted to give you a special thank you for giving me this. I think all the material from AA, thank you very much for giving us this pamphlet. I know it'll be a good thing for me to read.
Who else would like to share in answering any of these questions?
Thank you. Thank you, Roberta, for this really important topic, because our primary purpose is to carry the message, and we get so involved sometimes in thinking it's about attraction, not promotion, that we can't promote the program. We have to keep it a secret, and yet our primary purpose is to carry the message. So I think the important thing to remember is that we want to promote the principles of the program, but we don't want to promote the personalities. So I want to promote the principles of SEHAO, but I don't want to promote myself as a standard for SEHAO. So these questions are so important. Okay to reference on the SEHAO page? No, as long I cannot have my name or my image together with the name SEHAO. I can have my name and my image and say I lost weight in a 12-step program. It was wonderful, you know. Or I can have my image obscured or my name deleted and talk about Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How, but I can't have the two together. So I can promote the principles of the program. I think that's really important because we want to protect the integrity of the program. I think that's the primary thing I wanted to say. That oh, and the other question, which was very interesting and very difficult, what should I do if I see other SEHAO members doing any actions listed above? You know, it's such a delicate thing because, again, we want to protect the program. I want to protect the program. So what do I do? I can't make anybody do anything, but I can, in a kind manner, discuss how this is breaking a tradition and how it may be weakening SEHAO as a whole, and suggest that either that practice be discontinued, or if they want to continue the practice, not to use the name Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How. They can do whatever they want, but they can't couple it with the name Compulsive Eaters Anonymous How. So thank you.
Anybody else want to share? Please. Thanks, everybody, for coming up and signing in as well. We appreciate it.
Hi, I'm Susan, the compulsive eater. Hello. So it's almost been a couple of years. I've given away 104 how pounds, so you have to know I'm a fan. And I want, because I'm like an internet baby, and I love the computer, I love knowing that we can reach anybody in 2 seconds. I have questions. Plus, I'm pretty naive when it comes to the business of CEA How. I understand personal anonymity, but I also understand CEA How as a whole is like an entity, and that's what gets advertised in the middle of the night at 2 in the morning on a public service announcement, which, thank God, is how my sponsor got in program. And so I'm all for that. I'm all for anything NA, AA, or GA does, any of the A's. If they've got bulletin boards and billboards, I'm hoping that we are allowed to have that kind of stuff. I understand a health fair, and I'm saying this out loud so you can correct me if I'm wrong. A health fair is not press, radio, TV, unless it's being televised by that. That's people standing at a booth breaking their own anonymity because they choose to, which would be the same as going to a doctor's conference or going to a pastor's conference because it's not televised. So you'd be able to, I guess, stand there. And I love that, reaching mass people at one time. Here's a question, though, that I have. Regarding business cards, I don't understand why the different groups have cards when online, maybe on the website, the overall website, it could have a PDF file to download for any intergroup where all you have to do is put in, there would be a line that says name, because I know our intergroup did this. On one side it asks if you're a compulsive eater, on the other side it says name and phone number. So I can choose to put my name and then my phone number to pass out to somebody in a market or something. And I don't even know if that's allowed. So I'm still learning about how it works, and I want to know, because I want to take whatever the real rules are and help perpetuate them and keep them alive and move them forward, because I'm not going back to where I was before this program, I'll tell you that. When it comes to hotlines, so our intergroup is looking into a hotline, but there are already some that exist. How come they can't all funnel in from somewhere? And so, Colette, I want to definitely talk to you about even just how much it costs and how it works, but then I think I should talk to you. Hello, Marilyn and Susan. Is that Pamela? I'm so sorry. And you're the president, correct, of World Service? So thank you for being here, because it definitely, I'm in the right place, because to help set me straight, pretty please, especially if what I'm saying out loud, and especially with our in group, might be wrong in any way, shape, or form, then please help guide, okay? And then, I definitely want to be on board, and obviously all of you, there's many workshops going on. There's a reason you're here, and I'm sure you want to pass the same message. So just please help me understand exactly how it works. I'm all for, I'll sign up for anything, you know what I mean? And fundraising, no problem. I'll help with that. If we need billboards, it costs a lot of money, because I know this is saving lives, this program. So my issue isn't so much about breaking a person's facial anonymity. It's how can we advertise having this means of the Internet now? Because it's our time. It's time. Anyway, so thanks for letting me share and for having this workshop. I appreciate it.
Thank you. You can sign in.
Those are very legitimate questions. And actually, to let you all know, we had the business conference this week, the WSO Annual Business Conference, and there is a committee on public information. And there is a boatload of work that's been done that is available to help people know how to communicate these messages. And what we were told as delegates to the business conference is, you need to communicate this to your intergroups, that all this wealth of information is available that answers some of these questions. So it's just to let you know, it is something that's being worked on. This coming year, I am on the Public Information Committee, so I'll be learning more myself. But the answer is, there are answers to all those questions, and it's just a message of communicating it. That's a good problem to have. Would anyone else like to share on any of these questions? Let me ask you one of the wrap-up questions, which is, when you came into this session, understanding how technology impacts anonymity, what other topics did you expect this to talk about that I didn't even think of? Anything you were hoping that you would get answered or talked about? Yes, please, Amy.
Well, I didn't come in thinking about this, but the last speaker brought up an interesting point that I've heard concerns about, and I don't know whether we should be concerned about it or not. Local intergroups, phone bridge, places where people put their names and numbers. And, you know, it's only for the purpose of other CEA HOW members. But, in fact, it's a fairly porous medium, the Internet, you know. Anybody can go on there and get numbers. And, like, does CEA HOW want to take a stance about that? Sometimes people put their whole names, you know, not just their last name. I don't know. You know, it's just something that's wiggling around my brain. I've heard discussion about that before, that you know, we give our numbers and stuff for outreach, but we're under an illusion if we think a computer is a private medium. That's all.
Just as an FYI, if you'll notice on your little workshop schedule, a little bit of background information, you'll see that the workshops are listed there, and you'll see some of the people have their name referenced, and some of the people do not. And that was a topic at this year's business conference. Should people's names be on here? And as a group, we decided that in future, we will not have anybody's names, because the speaker is irrelevant. It's the message that's important. So to the point about we're thinking of things we'd never thought about before, and we're changing little by little, so... with that, let me just say, kind of in summary, just wrapping up here, one more slide. Let me tell you what I heard, and I think what I really liked, because you guys helped me come up with what I think I'm hearing from this, and that is our primary purpose is to carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer. And the message is about the principles, not the personalities. That's, I think, a really clear... Again, our purpose is to carry the message of recovery to those who still suffer, and we're communicating the principles, not the personalities. And so if that's the guiding principle behind all this, how am I going to live my life differently? That's the question. So anyone else want to share in before we wrap up, please?
Yeah, my name's Eddie. I'm a compulsive eater. I just walked in, so I don't know, but I did peruse the pamphlet. I got it earlier, so I kind of know what you guys are doing. As far as the subject of anonymity, as far as the whole idea of taking people's names off of a flyer or something like that, I don't particularly agree with that, and I'll tell you why. There was a famous talk by Dr. Bob, the co-founder of AA, and his whole idea, and this was Bill Wilson's idea too, that anonymity is only for press, radio, and films. Within the program, there is no such thing as anonymity. You can, in fact, people misuse it. A reverse is to be secretive about who you are. And that's a reverse of anonymity. And that's the AA stand. So I think it's kind of illogical for... another program to take a completely different view of that and to say, well, we're not going to put people's names on there. It seems to be a reverse of anonymity, and for me, it doesn't make sense. I can see a group of people making that decision. However, I also know that decisions made by a group conscience can also be toxic. It can also affect the fellowship in many, many ways. I'll tell you my own particular story about this. I joined an eating disorder group in 87, and it was a year after they decided not to make abstinence their number one priority, and that wasn't the keystone of the program. So consequently, when I joined that program, nobody ever gave me a food plan. And I struggled for many, many years trying to get abstinent, wanting to get abstinent, and I could not get abstinent because nobody gave me a food plan. Now, this was a decision made by a group conscience, by a group of people that were trusted to our servants, and later they reversed their decision because they realized that they caused a lot of problems. Now, one of the things that came out of that is this fellowship got started, other eating disorder fellowships got started, but the damage had already been done. A lot of people suffer because of that. Now, I don't think that kind of suffering is going to happen on this decision, but a decision like this should not be taken lightly. And I can't believe that a group of people, a group of informed abstinent people using the 12 concepts, in addition to the 12 traditions, would come to this kind of a conclusion. And the only way I can think of it, it was ramrodded over by 51%, and it wasn't really a unanimity kind of a thing. And if it was, I think it's a sad thing because they're not really studying what the traditions are really all about. Thank you.
Sure. We're going to have somebody just respond. Sure.
just like to address the last comment. The decision was substantial unanimity, not simple majority. Also, it was based on the 12th tradition, not the 11th tradition. It has nothing to do with anonymity at the level of press, radio, and other public media communication. It was based on the 12th tradition, which is spiritual anonymity, placing principles before personalities, which is carrying the message, not the messenger. And it was based, the reason names were taken off was that it's principles before personalities, that which is what the 12th tradition is, that it was based on carrying the message. We go to a workshop to hear the message, depending on what we need to hear, not on seeing a particular personality. So there was a misunderstanding among many people that this was based on tradition 11, which was not the case. It's tradition 12, which is principles before personalities.
Well, with that, I go to my last slide. Just to say thank you for coming today. But let me just pause and just ask you, was this a value, the session is a value? Getting a couple nodding heads, kind of interesting. If you have any other comments or suggestions, come up and see me afterwards. This might be an ongoing evolutionary type thing. Looking forward to hearing what you have to say. Let me invite you to join me as we close in the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. Thank you so much for coming. Have a good night, you guys.